if somebody put a gun to my head today and said, hey, you either need to ditch all of your real estate or turn off your entire brand, I would lose all my real estate. Like, I would keep the brand over the real estate, because real estate's great and real estate's what got me my financial freedom. But real estate only scales so much, and the platform allows you to scale in a lot of different directions at the same time.
Welcome to the Action Academy Podcast.
Stand back while I celebrate freedom.
The show where we help you achieve financial independence with the mindsets, methods, and actionable steps from guests who've already earned their freedom.
The flags of freedom fly.
Choose to do what you want.
What you want.
With who you want.
With who you want.
When you want.
When you want.
With another episode today. Now, here's your host, Brian Lubin.
Welcome back to another episode of the Action Academy Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Brian Lubin, bringing you the mindsets, the methods, and the actionable steps for you to earn freedom in your life and business with this episode today. If you are new here to the show, welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Thursday, which means at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, our Action Academy newsletter is sending out at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We were not able to send it last week, so now this week you get a double dose of goodness. You get not only the top tips and takeaways from a billionaire, Jeff Hoffman, founder of Priceline.com, but you also get on mic and off mic top advice from Brandon freaking Turner that was on the episode last Tuesday. So you're going to want to check that one out. So both of those top tips in a 5-minute read come into your inbox, go in the show description and click the link to join the newsletter, or you can download the book W2 to World Travel at W2toWorldTravel.com. Now, let's get into the show guest for today. Today's guest is none other than my good buddy, Dave Perret. Dave is a multifamily real estate investor and the founder of From Military to Millionaire, which is one of the largest active duty investing platforms and social media brands for enlisted members in the world. Dave is a multifamily syndicator with over 800 units, but he does not count that. He counts the 100 units that he owns himself personally, and then he's also a part of the syndication of the 800 other units. So while he's doing that, and it's impressive, the brand that he has created is even more impressive. And as the show clip in the very beginning alluded to, the brand has allowed him to raise millions and millions and millions of dollars through sending just one email. So that is scale. And I am going to talk on this show as much about building brand, building scale, and building a digital presence as much as I will talk about the investing vehicles that we discuss. The first 10 to 15 minutes of the show are going to be more military specific, to where we're going to discuss the VA loans and also what active duty members get right and what they get wrong when it comes to investing. So stick with us through that first 10 to 15 minutes, because then we are getting to actionable advice for everybody. We talk about how Dave is setting up his deals, his syndications. We talk about the power of personal brand, how he built Military to Millionaire, how he is leveraging TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, the specific tactics and principles that he is using to grow his brand, what works, what doesn't work. In the back half, we talk networking, how important it is to join mastermind groups, how to get the attention of mentors, how to get the attention of valuable people that you want to partner with. And at the very end, we are going to do a deep dive into some of his deals, into his portfolio. So it is a great episode through and through. You're going to want to stick around to the end. Lastly, Dave is a member of GoBundance with me, which is how we became buddies. If you are accredited and interested in GoBundance, which you should be, go in the show description, click the link, book a call with me for free. Happy to have a conversation with you about this. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button, because we got 5 episodes coming to you a week. And without any further ado, let's get to this one. Dave Perret.
David Perret. What's up, man? Buddy?
How are you doing, dude? It's good, man. We just closed a refi today, closed the sale of a flip yesterday, and finally got approval, I think, to close on a wholesale next week that we've had literally under contract for almost 4 months because of probate paperwork being messed up with the county. It's always nice when you get those little wins. You're like, I just gave up on this property. The title company I went in to sign today is, oh yeah, we're closing this property on Hayworth next week. And I was like, Hayworth? I forgot about that one. I just assumed it wasn't ever going to happen. Like, sweet.
So. Yeah, a little pleasant surprise, man. I'm excited to have you on today, man, because you offer a very unique perspective. And now you've built a platform around this perspective so that others can feel seen, heard, known, and appreciated. And wherever you can find somewhere where you are a niche, but then you can create a niche around that, that's massive. And that's where we win. So I really want to start with your story, your backstory, and talk about how you enlisted, how you went through your military service, and how you made this transition to where you are today and the birth of this brand. I think we should start there, and then we can just see where this goes, man. Let it rip.
That sounds good to me, brother.
So talk to me, Goose.
So I joined, born in Northern California, parents moved to Arkansas, grew up in a super religious, like missionary marriage conference household with a great idea for what a family was, not a whole lot of money, but, and very sheltered. And I was homeschooled. I went to public school one semester, ran into a recruiter while I was there. Didn't know what I wanted to do after school. Didn't like school, had no money for school. And the Marine Corps was like, I talked to all the branches, but the Marine Corps was like, you can go overseas and we'll pay for it. And I'm like, ooh, that sounds awesome.
Travel.
I'm in.
Travel hacking.
Travel and adventure. Like they, so that when you join, when I was a recruiter too now, they have 12 tags. They call them benefit tags. They have things like courage, confidence, personal development, finance. Travel and adventure is literally one of those. So they sit you down and they're like, here, pick the top three that are important to you so that I know what to talk to you about or whatever. And the first one I pick is travel and adventure. And the guy's like, we got you covered. Joined. I did logistics. I was a transportation guy. I drove trucks. Spent 2 years in Japan, combat deployment to Afghanistan, 2 years in San Diego, tried out for special forces, blew out my knee. The Marine Corps sent me on recruiting duty. While in recruiting duty, I bought my first house, got totally hooked on real estate, then got stationed in Hawaii, kept buying real estate where I was a recruiter in Missouri because Hawaii was expensive, and then got stationed in California. And while on the way to California and in California, realized that time in the Marine Corps was awesome, but it's the more you get promoted, the more of a desk job you have, and the less we're at war, the less anything exciting is going on. So wasn't as fulfilling as it once was. When I first joined, the first 4 years I saw, 13 countries, combat, all the things. And then the last 9 years I was active duty, I didn't leave the country. And so I was like, okay, this is not as cool as it was. And by the way, I've achieved financial freedom. So I'm going to go do this thing.
You're going to go do the travel without the bullets.
Yeah, man. Finally leaving. So the first time I'm going to leave the country in 10 years, probably.
Wow.
Is 2 months. We're going 2 months and a day, going to Machu Picchu for 2 weeks. Going to go do the 5-day hike. And I'm excited, dude. It's good. Life's good.
That's so awesome, man. So I know we obviously have the VA loan available to active duty and then military. So 0% down. Is there anything else besides that? Just 0% down for your conventional home or?
Dude, the VA loan is super misunderstood, but it is straight up the best mortgage product in the world. There's the only thing I've heard rumors of that might be similar is the doctor. I guess doctors have a version like it, which is interesting when you think about it, that somebody who makes $300,000 a year needs a zero down offer. But hey, who am I to judge? But the VA, yeah, so zero down. No MIP, no PMI. The interest rate thresholds are different. So like on a FHA or conventional loan, if you drop below 740, there'll be a price adjustment on the loan. And if you drop below 680, there's another one. And if you drop below 640, there's another one. So if you're a 800 credit score, you're going to have a better interest rate than someone with a 700 credit score. The VA loan only has one price adjustment. And it's at 640. So you could have a 641 score and get the exact same interest rate as someone with an 820. Yeah. So it's super cool. So that's why the VA loan usually has or often has lower interest rates because they just don't adjust. There's no credit score requirement. There's no DTI requirement. So you can go over 50%. I've seen 73%. And a lot of lenders have overlays. So like obviously most lenders aren't going to lend to you with under a 600 credit score, but I've seen a 560. There's no limit on your first use anymore. So I saw a guy in California buy a $1.9 million duplex on Venice Beach, zero down. And the crazy thing about that loan, he bought 30-year fixed at 2.75. And with zero money down, we did the math. He had a lower payment than if an investor had come in, put 25% down and had a 5% rate. Because of the amortization being longer, the rate being lower, like it's crazy to think that this dude bought a $2 million duplex and he's got a lower rate than if someone had dropped $500,000 cash on the down payment. Like it's, yeah. So there's a lot of downsides. Like there's a funding fee, but it's cheaper than MIP PMI, and the opportunity cost of putting 20% down, it's $11 a month for every 100,000 you borrow. So it's
oh man,
yeah, it's
deal breaker.
Yeah, yeah. People seem to run around screaming about that. And I'm always like, have you done the math? Because it's 2.3% amortized for 30 years. So it's whatever. It's incredible. And you can buy fourplexes and house hack with it. And I know guys who've done that in almost every state over the last few years. And the misconceptions with it are usually like the inspection process is harder or appraisals or, but most of that's all bogus. Usually what I tell people is this: if your agent or your lender is telling you that putting in an offer with the VA loan makes you less competitive for buying a house, you need a new agent and lender. That's it. And I have friends who were doing it. I have a buddy who closed not even kidding, 14 days in the heat of San Diego's craziness last year, 14 days closed a $950,000 VA loan. Like, you find me a conventional lender who can, yeah, you find me a conventional lender who will, and he was guaranteeing 17 day closes, the lender. So find me a conventional lender who will guarantee you a 17 day close on a residential. Not going to happen.
Woo. So you've got this product, right? You've got this product, and then your brand is From Military to Millionaire. Where does this go wrong? Why do people not take advantage of this?
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to apply this in the beginning for people listening. We're going to apply a little bit of military specific jargon and military specific advice here in the beginning, but use this as a framework and a reference for your own journey. But where do you see it going wrong? Why aren't a bunch of military millionaires?
Yeah, we're working on it, right? So it's a lot of just misconceptions, man. It's for the longest time, people weren't promoting the TSP, which is our thrift savings plan, our 401k. And so they weren't contributing and they were leaving the money in the G fund, which is basically just bonds. So they were getting almost no growth. The way that's structured now, it goes into a life cycle fund automatically. There's a matching contribution. So a lot more people are taking advantage of that, which is great because it's the lowest fees you're going to find on index funds. There's a 5% match, which is guaranteed money, free money. That's a super cool platform. But then there's just such a weird, you know what I think? This is not like statistical. My thought process, the way that I was when I was 18 was, why would I care about saving for retirement? I'm going to Afghanistan in a year. I might not make it past 30. So I'm going to blow all my money on a Harley and tattoos and alcohol and women and whatever. And life's great. And that was fun. And I was way wrong. I'm past 30 and still here. And man, if I look back, I'm like, dude, if I had even just saved like $250 a month, I would be in such a better position right now. When I bought that first house, I had a negative net worth and I'd been in the military for 7 years. So a lot of service members, for some reason, they join and they're like, I can buy an awesome car. And then now they have no finances. Because when you join the military, you basically start at like level one financial freedom. Like your job is set, it's secure, and you can completely and totally live off that. And your food's paid for, your housing's paid for, you could literally invest 100% of your paycheck and still be able to make it to work. So people just don't do it. They don't know.
I understand. So first off, even talking about an 18-year-old in general, that's already enough. Right there. You're like, okay, this guy.
Yeah.
So what's your mission with this brand? And we'll get into branding. And then that's when we'll bring it back into the civilian world here, because it's amazing what you're doing and it's amazing how you've created this. And we'll get into the benefits of this for you as well. But talk to a little bit about the creation of the brand and like how you're planning to help and how you have.
Yeah. So the creation of the brand was by accident and from another GoPro, interestingly enough. So when I was stationed out in Hawaii, long story short, I met Brandon Turner when he was in the process of trying to move to Oahu, and I was trying to help him find a house. He ended up on Maui. But at one point, he even had his car parked in my garage for 4 months. Like, I was really trying to like, hey, let me provide some value to this guy. So whatever. And he came over for dinner one night. And we were sitting there and I was like, hey, I got a question for you. I've had this idea of writing a book. I have a journal from when I was deployed to Afghanistan and a mission log, and they correlate. So you can literally see, hey, on this day, Dave drove over a spicy road bump. And this is how Dave felt after he blew the truck up.
Spicy road bump.
Yeah, that's my new phrase. Well, it's interesting to look back and be like, wow, I didn't remember how I felt. And so I thought, man, there's a lot of Navy SEALs out there with all these look at me, we killed Bin Laden books, but there's nobody with like a, hey, this is what normal dudes did in Afghanistan. Like, this is all the dumb crap that we did on missions that we shouldn't have. Or look at me overdosing on caffeine and having a panic attack and just stupid stuff. And so I was like, I'd love to write this book as like a memoir or whatever, but nobody knows who I am. It would never get read. What do you think I should do to start that process? He's like, why don't you just start a blog and maybe people will learn who you are, but also you'll get better at writing. Huh, great advice. What should I blog about? He's like, I don't know. Military real estate. There's not a whole lot of service members doing it. There's a lot of service members out there who could. And so that was literally that conversation was in January. By February, there was a YouTube, a blog, a Facebook group, and whatever. And the whole thing was me just documenting what I was learning. Like, oh, I learned about this thing. Let me put a blog post out. And then somewhere within 9 months to a year, it started to get picked up and people started to start asking questions that were more like, oh, look at what Dave's learning, and more of, what would you do in this situation? Or how would you? And so it slowly started to pivot more towards learning specific things to answer questions for other service members and doing a lot of research. And then like a year after that, so like a year and a half, 2 years in, it just went gangbusters. It was like, I remember like one day, there was like a week, we were averaging like 100 new people in the Facebook group a week. And then one day I woke up and it was like 200 in the same day. And I was like, and then that continued. And it went from like 6,000 people in the group to like 45, 46,000 in 1 year. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And it just kept rolling, man. It was like everything. We're the largest military real estate investing firm out there. If you look across all socials, there's one other group in the space that has me beat by a little bit on Facebook. But if you Instagram, TikTok, like, not even close once you factor everything else in. And it's crazy because I put out a stupid TikTok that's just like, want to learn about the VA loan? Then follow me, idiots. And I get 70,000 people who comment on it. And I'm like, holy crap, this is weird.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm trying to crack that TikTok code right now. I'm like, okay, because what it is, you keep shooting your shot, right? You keep shooting your shot until you find that one piece of content that people really love. And you just milk that piece of content. Short, just different directions.
The shorter and more concise you can make it, yeah, the better, man. It's crazy. Like all of my like really good videos or really like viral videos have been like 15 seconds.
So talk through that process, that creative process in the beginning of creating the brand, and when it wasn't that lucrative and when things weren't going gangbusters and you're talking into the void. What kept you going through that?
Ooh, yeah. So full disclosure, the first 2 years, I might've made a little bit of money here or there, but I don't think my first month out of the red was until like 2.5 years down the road. I mean, I was paying for camera equipment and I was paying for website crap and whatever. And I don't think I made a penny for the first year. And then I started making a little bit of money here and there from like ad revenue and stuff, but it was never enough to cover anything. It wasn't until 2.5 years down the road that I finally saw green on a month.
Preaching to the choir. I'm like, where's all my money going? Because I'm like not really saving. And then all of a sudden I realize, I look at my balance sheet and I'm like, because people don't really see, like when you're really passionate about something, like it's all you think about. This Action Academy is all I think about.
Yep.
So while I'm going to travel and everything, like that's fantastic. And that's my life that I've chosen to live and that I've designed around it. But also I'm thinking, how can I produce content while I'm doing that for Action Academy? And so I can help other people so other people can do all this stuff. And so it's every single month is just because I don't have revenue. I'm not doing paid books, courses, anything. Just read thousands and thousands of dollars. So that's why I asked that question, man. So it's cool. I'm excited to see, because even podcasts, you have a podcast of your own, right?
Yeah, I'm still in the red on that one.
Podcasts are rough, man. They're really tough to get to get off the ground. Which platform did you see the most traction on the fastest? I think I already probably know the answer to that one.
It was Instagram.
Yeah.
But it is now TikTok by far.
Yep, there it is.
Yeah, and I wasn't a TikTok believer. And it's funny because I didn't take it seriously at all. And the first video I ever had that got over 100,000 views was, I don't know how much you're on TikTok, but there was a video like 9 months ago, 8 months ago, there was like it was a video with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell singing this like song together. Yeah. So I just took the audio from that and like literally stood in a mirror in a hotel at FinCon in Austin and mouthed the words while like pointing at random things that talked about real estate. And it got 300,000 or 400,000 views, and I gained like 30,000 followers overnight, or 25 or something. And I was like, oh my God, this is it. TikTok's amazing. And then
it's always the stupidest video. Like the one where I'll put all this effort into a video, and then it'll be that one video where I just stand in front of a tweet that I put, and then it'll get like 10,000 views. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's actually, it makes sense, especially if the tweet is longer. If it's a really short video. So let's say you do like a 7-second clip with just some music, and you're just showing this tweet or whatever. What's happening is most people don't pause it to read. They just let it go. So all TikTok sees is this guy just watched your video 6 times. They don't know why. They don't know that it's because the guy's trying to read this long ass tweet you threw up. So if it's intriguing enough that people are reading, but the video is lapping, TikTok sees it as, wow, this content must be awesome. Let's push it to everybody. It's weird.
I love it, man. And we'll land the plane about why this is important. But before we do that, any tips that you can give to people that are in the middle of growing a personal brand? Because I'm sure you've probably noticed the same gap that I have, where we're in GoBundance and we see all these people. And I know a lot of you guys are listening right now, hyper successful, super killing it, like financial independence, like hundreds of thousands of dollars coming in passively, no online presence.
Yeah.
And it's everything that they're doing, like this is all lubricant, right? Everything that they're doing could be done bigger and easier with a platform. So can you give some advice about people that are starting up their own platform, their own personal brand, on things that maybe a couple things that you can think of that really helped move the needle forward?
Yeah. The first thing I would say is to drive your point home. If somebody put a gun to my head today and said, hey, you either need to ditch all of your real estate at cost so you don't profit on it today, or turn off your entire brand, I would lose all my real estate. Like I would keep the brand over the real estate, because
wow,
real estate's great. And real estate's what got me my financial freedom. But real estate only scales so much. And the platform allows you to scale in a lot of different directions at the same time. Like the opportunities are crazy. And it gets weird because some of the stuff, like it's not a ton of money always, but like a prime example, I got paid $2,000 last month for 2 30-second TikTok videos for a brand. It took me less than an hour. So it's like,
what?
Yeah. So it's okay. $2,000 in the grand scheme of things is not a huge amount of money. I could flip a house and I could make 15 times that, 20 times that. But not in 1 hour. That's the kick. And well, not in 30, 1 hour.
2 30-second. That's a minute, dog.
Yeah. Some editing and setup and drafting out the word. Maybe 30 minutes to an hour. But like in an air-conditioned office at the time of day that I chose, lounging in my recliner going, yeah, we'll say that. Ooh, yeah. Oh, we'll cut this. Yeah. Hey, does this work? Yeah, that works. Oh, cool. Thanks. And then they send you money and you're like, wow. But more than that, when you start talking about networking and everything with the brand, like there are only so many people you can get out there and meet if you're trying to network. But with the brand, people find you, and you get to a point where you have to set up like boundaries to like, hey, I'd love to talk to all of you, but I can't. So here's a couple things to get through before you talk to me. And your conversations just evolve to be more and more valuable. But what I would say to someone who's in that process, I would say that the jab, right hook, like the Gary Vee mentality.
Gary Vaynerchuk, yeah.
Yeah, just provide as much value as humanly possible. And don't worry about the sales pitch. That'll come. You'll have the opportunities to make money. But if you're trying to get to where you're at that point, a great example of this, and somebody who's one of my favorite followers right now is, and he's blowing up quick, is Alex Hormozi.
Alex Hormozi, yeah.
Dude, he starts his podcast and the first thing he says is, basically, I made a shitload of money. I don't need any of y'all's. I got nothing to sell you. So I'm just here to talk. And it's like a 15-minute video and they're so valuable. And he just, his content's extremely valuable. There's no sales pitch. He's not asking you for anything. He's just genuine. And he'll be Grant Cardone level platform size in no time. He is just blowing up everywhere. And that's why, because he focused on the value and people love it.
It was funny because he posted a TikTok with him and Grant Cardone where he does that. Hey, I paid $30,000 for a 30-minute phone call with Grant Cardone. So you don't have to. Here's what I learned. And he said that him and Grant both pulled out their phones and he was asking Grant advice. And he said, what do I need to do to make my platform exactly like yours? And then he said, okay, how many times did you post today? How many TikToks did you do? How many Instagram posts? How many tweets did you do? And then he like showed his phone. And it was like 10x that. And he was like, it's the quantity
Yeah.
It's the quantity. Everyone's like, oh, I want to put out quality content. And yeah, you can for sure. But it's all about, for me, what I've learned so far in this game, because now I'm, you call it 8 months deep in this game now.
Yeah.
It's creating one really solid piece of content, long form content, like one of these podcasts, and then chopping it up and distributing it into your flywheel. Yep. So it's like you will have this long form piece of content, and then you could chop it up into 20 reels, like probably 50 TikToks, yep. and it's evergreen. It's going to keep yep. going. And then you take the top TikToks and you make them tweets, and then you can make them posts, and it's all over the place. And that's Absolutely. One piece of content.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It goes back to what we were just talking about with TikTok. I even made a video the other day and I was like, TikTok, you guys are weird. I'll make a 10-second video that says, follow me, you idiots, or you won't learn this. And it goes viral. Or I'll make a 3-minute video detailing like exactly step by step how to use a VA loan and nobody cares. And it's like the video that's, hey, look at me. If you want to make money, do this dance. That one goes viral. And the one that's so like, stupid. Hey, here's how to actually do it. And so you don't know what content's going to take off. So the quality is important. But if you do one quality piece and you don't do anything else, the odds of that going viral are so much less than if you just throw 10 at the wall. One of them's going to stick, even if it's not high quality.
And I had a limiting belief behind that when I was doing it, because I was like, oh, this is stupid as hell. This is not worth my time. But then I reframed how I thought about things. And I said, okay, I'm providing massive, like detailed levels of value in my podcast and through my newsletter. And so it's my mission to be able to package this. You got to give the people what they want. If I can do a stupid little freaking TikTok that's 10 seconds of my time and I feel stupid making it, but somebody that's 21 years old looks at that TikTok and they're like, oh, that's funny. Let me click on his profile. And then he goes on my profile and then he sees the podcast, starts listening to the podcast. And then all of a sudden his life's changed because he can hit financial independence now.
Yep.
That was worth it. If it one person.
Absolutely.
And now you are applying scale to this. Talk about, I want to get into networking with you because this marries right into what we're talking about. Talk about the couple emails you sent and what was the result?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were talking beforehand. It was staggering is what it was. About a year and a half ago, I tried to raise for a syndication and I didn't really know what I was doing with raising money, but I had a little bit of success, more than I thought I would. And then beginning of this year, I helped raise some money for a GoBro for one of his syndications. And it went, I was a GP and it actually went fairly well. But what really blew me away with the platform was those were great. That was cool. Like I raised some money for deals that I was a partner on, but it was cool. The moment I got more serious about flipping some houses, which I scaled back a little bit just because I don't want to do full guts right now because I don't really know what the market's going to do in the next year. So I'm doing
sure.
lipsticks and lower risk.
Medic, yeah.
Yeah. But I was taking down some big ones. And what really drove home the power of really all of this was when I went to raise, the first one was like $85,000. And I was like, man, I'd love it if I could do this with private money. What would be like a normal rate? Let me offer like 1.10% interest and see what happens. And I sent an email to my list and I had 3 people respond within 15 minutes. I'll take it. And I was like, hey, what? Like in 15 minutes. And by the end of the 24-hour period, it was like 7 or 8 people that were like, yeah, we're interested. I was like, okay, that's cool. So then I got another one under contract a couple of weeks later and very similar results. And then there was a month, like that was probably October. And then in January, we landed 6 deals under contract. We wholesaled 3 and kept 3. And the 3 that we kept, the total raise was like 380 for the purchase and the rent. So I'm on all of these. It's 100%. Someone's paying the purchase and the renovation budget. I'm $0 in. Unless we go over budget. If we go over budget, I'm paying all of that. And then the refi pays everything out. I get to pull a little cash and we hold it, right? Solid burr. So it's like 380 grand. And I sent all 3 deals out on one email and had all 3 of them funded by private money by the end of the day. And I was like, ooh, this is cool. And so in a matter of 4 months, with I think a total of 4 emails, maybe 5, we raised close to $700,000 for deals that we were doing on our own. Some were friends that I didn't know had money, and some were people I'd never met before who just followed along. And one of those guys put like $200,000 into a syndication, lent me another 100, and is partnering with me on some other deals right now. Another guy funded 4 of the deals he's funded 4 deals for me over the last 9 months. And now he dropped 100 grand into a campsite that we're closing on next week that I brought 0 money to the table. Buddy of mine was like, I got this awesome deal and I need money. And I called him and they went, they partnered and they were like, we'll give you 10% for hooking us up. Thanks. And so I'm in a $400,000 campsite deal in Missouri for 10% equity with no money involved. And all I did was bring the partners together, get the LLC formed and bring the lender. Like at three introductions, here's a private lender. Here's my personal commercial portfolio lender. And here's my LLC setup guy. Made those introductions and poof, money out of thin air. So that's what's been crazy for me is like, there's all kinds of ways to profit off the brand. And it made more than six figures last year and it was awesome. But the raising money being that easy was just mind blowing.
Dude, and it's awesome to hear because this is like another reason why I do this. I do this to provide value to people, but it's now, there are times, right, where you're in the middle of your journey. And obviously with this podcast, like I'm interviewing four or five of y'all a week. That's how busy I am. And if I'm not interviewing four or five multimillionaire entrepreneurs a week, I'm a guest on other podcasts. So yep. I'm on a microphone 8 to 10 hours throughout the week, like just straight talking. And there are times where I've been like, man, I'm not pursuing another rental right now. I'm not pursuing a deal right now. I'm not pursuing this. I'm not pursuing that. When my friends are, and the guests are, and everyone is. And this is my sole focus right now. And then I pick my head up and I realize 2 years, 5 years down the road, because I'm not making money from this. I just do this for free for all of you. And because I love you and I want to help everyone. But that will reciprocate later down the road, man. So that's very cool to hear, man. And you're one of the ones that's doing it. And you've got your heart in the right place and you're really passionate about your brand. So I really like that.
Yeah. So to really drive it home, I guess the question is, do you think Grant Cardone's the best syndicator in the world? There's probably other people who are just as good as he is, if not better, right?
Yeah. But he's the best technical perspective. Yeah.
But he's the best known.
Yeah.
That's why. And he's the one who says that too. He's the one who's like, best known will always beat best. So you could be the best product out there, but if nobody knows who you are, then it doesn't matter. And I guarantee you there are better syndicators than Grant.
Oh, yeah, I can.
I don't know that there's
money raisers. Probably a lot of them personally. Yeah.
But I don't know if there's better money raisers than Grant.
So let's hit a little bit on networking because we're both in GoBundance. Let's hit a bit on networking and then we can close out with where you're at right now in your portfolio and where you're trying to go and how you're trying to reposition. So maybe 10 minutes in 10 minutes.
Easy. Yeah. What do you want to talk about network?
I don't know, man. Do you like people? Do people like you?
I hope so, because if you're familiar with the DISC profile, I'm way too high of an eye for people to not like me.
Yeah, I'm high ID, but you joined GoBundance, $10,000 a year. So what made you make that leap finally to doing something to where you're paying money to be in a group? And I'm sure you're in probably other groups like that as well. What made you make that transition or what have you seen from it?
Yeah, I had known about GoBundance for probably 4 years and I just didn't meet the requirements to join. Although I could have said I did because I was close enough that it would have been easy. But I, for some reason, it's funny because I joined and then I was like, man, nobody would have cared. But before I joined, I was like,
those military values.
I was like, that one's not quite. And so I was like super rough on myself with net worth. Now I'm like, oh, nobody really cares as long as you're like somewhat accurate with what you're documenting and you know what you're talking about.
And if you're doing stuff like,
yeah. And so I'd wanted to join forever. So as soon as I was eligible to, I joined. And it embodies like everything I believe about networking and growth and everything else. Look, if you want to get good at something, just go find the people who are already doing it and they've already been there and they've already done it and just get next to them. And if you want to get next to the ones who are really good, you pay to be in their circle because you
have to.
Yeah, they're too busy to do. If it's this weird conundrum where like everyone I've ever run into who's hung out with billionaires. Has, I think in almost every case, their thought has been that said billionaire was a jerk. Like no matter who the billionaire was, like almost every billionaire I've ever heard of somebody running across, that's the thought that comes across. And it hit on me not too long ago because somebody I know was talking about meeting Johnny Morris, who's the founder of Bass Pro Shops, and he lives in town. He's worth like $4 or $5 billion, maybe six, I don't know. And they were like, I met him at this thing and he was such a jerk. He was so like short and it was just like, and I'm like, what did you bring to the table? This dude makes $1 million an hour, maybe, I don't know, at least $1 million a day, but probably $1 million an hour. Who knows, right?
Yeah.
So if he's making $1 million a day, that means that every hour he's alive is worth $40,000-$50,000. Is your 5-minute conversation about whatever worth $50,000? Because if it's not, then yeah, I'm sure he's going to come off as a jerk because you're just not interested. And that's rough to say, but like somebody who's doing, who's that far along in life, they didn't get that far along in life by letting everybody distract them. They were very focused. And so if you want to get into their circle and actually learn from them, you either need to bring something very valuable to them, solve a problem they have, or be willing to pay and make it worth their time to stop what they're doing, which is infinitely valuable, and turn and say, oh yeah, okay, we'll give you this advice. So unless you have a really solid introduction from a really warm connection to them, you're not going to get their time. It's just, they have set up safeguards to guard their time. And it's not that they're a jerk or whatever. It's just, I'm at this point now where I'm starting to realize, like, I didn't set very good boundaries. And I'm letting day after day that I'm like, oh man, I spent so much time on Zoom, I didn't get anything done. It doesn't help anything. So I'm helping less people by taking those phone calls, which is, it's a weird idea, but it's true. Like, I haven't started writing my next book because I've been so busy with phone calls and crap.
And also it's just like, now even to where I'm at, like, it's, hey, let's connect. About what?
Exactly.
What do you want to connect on? Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll drive down in the message a couple of times. And if they're able to answer after driving a couple of times down into the message, oh, I need help with podcasting. Happy to help. What do you need help with specifically? Like, what areas do you need help with? And then if they keep going, I'm like, okay, cool. Have you done this and checked out this resource? Yes. Okay, cool. Yeah. Let's hop on a quick call. Yep. And Matt EA that was on this show, he's got another one where he will push out like a month. He'll be like, yeah, I'll talk to you. He'll push it out a month. And then he'll say, follow up with me in a month and I'll talk with you. And then he's like, 90% of people just dip out at that point. But not me. Because I've been messaging him since before GoBundance. So I've been on it every single month. I was like, all right, Matt, let's chat. Awesome. And now he was on the podcast, man. So, man, networking is... Yeah. And then even you've got the Ed Milettes and all these people. So I know the country clubs get like a bad rep, but even like the Ed Milettes, I was listening to him on a show and he's wanting to join a country club, a specific one, because of the people that are in it. He's like, these are people, like, the higher you get, you're either going to have to find a way to provide massive value or you're going to have to pay a massive paycheck. So pay to play, seek to serve. I'm always going to quote that Gino Barbero, man.
I love that dude. Gino's
awesome. Yeah. He's on the show too.
They're so genuine.
Oh yeah, they freaking rock. But let's finish up this last 10 minutes. Do a broad overview of where your portfolio is right now and what you're doing and how you're positioning right now. Cause you said you're being a bit cautious with how everything's going. And for people listening, this is Friday, June 17th. So we just had another rate hike and I believe we're going up another 75 basis points. Correct. So what are you doing with your portfolio? What's your game plan tentatively moving forward?
Yeah, I guess current portfolio, about 100 units under personal management. So either 100%, 50%, or 33% ownership. Another 800 and something that I'm a GP on, a super small percentage that I pretty much never count my unit count because whatever. But I've done 17 transactions this year with a few under contract pending. I think 8 of those are wholesales. 2 wholetails, so just purchased, cleaned, and listed, and then the rest are either flips or burrs. And so where I'm at right now, I've got 3 under renovation, and 2 of them were originally going to be burrs and 1 flip. I'm going to list all 3 of them because I realized, like, my cash position is not as good as I'd like it to be, and I still have some personal debt, so some not good debt, because I've been in growth mode. So I've been like, yeah, I'll put that on the credit card so I can invest this in here and whatever, which is fine. But right now, what I'm going to do is, I told myself, until I have an additional $50,000 sitting in cash reserves and all of the bad debt is gone, I'm not going to hold another property. So I'm going to just sell them all, pay off all the bad debt, which on its own will remove probably $1,000, $1,500 a month in obligated payments or whatever. And I'm actually going to do what I swore I would never do. And I'm going to pay off my cars, even though their interest rate's so low that it doesn't really make sense. But I'm like, okay, if I can just clear everything but mortgages, then my living expenses are like nothing. So then if something goes wrong in the market, I don't need much to live anymore. So I can just pump everything into mortgage payments. And then if I have that 50 grand extra in reserves, then that 50 will be either for opportunities or mortgage payments, or who knows what's going to happen. I'm not really worried about the real estate market. I'm sure there'll be a slow and I'm sure there'll be a dip, but I'm not anticipating a massive crash, at least not where I invest in the Midwest. I don't think there will be. Yeah, we're still so far below the median home price nationwide. So I'm not super worried about it, but I just want to make sure I have a little bit better cash position, because if nothing else, it'll allow me to buy some opportunities if it does go south, or I'll throw it in an index fund when it drops another 20 points and say, hey, sure, that'll be great in a few years.
So yeah,
who knows?
And this is exactly what the Fed is trying to do, right? The Fed's literally just like, for people listening, they raised it 75 basis points. Like, I listened to his speech. The reason that they're doing it is because they want to slow demand down to give supply a chance to catch up.
Yep.
That's it. If you want to take all the complicated jargon, you put it down, that's what they're trying to do. So that, hey, it's working. People are like, oh, how am I supposed to afford a house? Well, that's the point. Like, they're slowing things down. And then so that the prices will naturally come down a bit, at least, or stabilize. And then people will be able to enter the market a little bit better. So wrapping up, brother, where can people find you?
Pretty much any platform. If you Google military millionaire or from military to millionaire, you'll find my ugly mug pop up.
The SEO king.
I don't know about that, but just a very unique niche.
Dave Perret on OnlyFans.
Ooh, yeah, the feet pics, they are actually the only reason I'm financially free.
All right, awesome. So from military to millionaire everywhere, man. Dude, thanks for being you, man. Thanks for doing you. This has been fantastic. It's been a masterclass on branding, on why to brand, how to brand. It's just been awesome, man. So appreciate you coming on, brother.
I appreciate you. And I'm glad we made this work in the midst of our crazy schedules and you being out of state. And it's been good, man.
Yeah, this one's over from Tennessee. I don't think that's as sexy for y'all to, for me to lead the show with, but I'm in Tennessee, everyone. It's the exotic world and sunshine.
Give it a month and you'll be...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Two, 3 weeks. Yeah. And then we're rocking and rolling, brother.
Live from Greece.
Yeah. That'll be a cool one. But anyways, brother, I appreciate you. Thank you for coming on. And ladies and gentlemen, this has been Brian and Dave Perret with the Action Academy podcast, signing off.
You've been listening to the Action Academy podcast, helping you to choose what you want with who you want, when you want.
You've been given the gift of freedom. Don't turn your back on that.
We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we hope you've gotten some practical and useful information. Make sure to like, rate, and review the show. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hook up with us on social media. Remember, financial independence is freedom.
The flags of freedom fly. Freedom fly.